Hello everyone, I'm Jenny, Communications Officer for the Professional Insights team at ACCA. I'm joined in this podcast with my colleague Narayanan, ACCA's Head of Business Insights, to talk about ICOs, or Initial Coin Offerings. Hi Narayanan. So first things first, please can you give us a bit of context about why we're talking about ICOs?
Hi Jenny. Sure. So over the past few years, there's been a significant increase in the level of activity in respect of blockchain and distributed ledger technologies. And quite a bit of the funding for these blockchain-based ideas are coming from initial coin offerings or ICOs. The fact is that funds raised in 2017 via ICOs were something like 40 times those raised in 2016. That's a big part of why we are talking about this today. ACCA's report on initial coin offerings entitled ICOs, Real Deal or Token Gesture, explores this area to understand what they are and also to uncover what lies beneath the astronomical growth and possibly even the hype of recent times.
Thanks. That set the scene for us. Now, what is an ICO in simple terms?
In simple terms, in an ICO, investors receive coins or tokens in exchange for a payment, generally made in a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, as opposed to a fiat currency like pounds or dollars. The coins or tokens received represent the investment in the project. ICOs are a little bit different because these tokens give the right to a future benefit rather than an equity share in the business, which would normally happen in a venture capital situation.
And how did all this start?
Most early ICOs were a mechanism for developing new functionality on top of the Bitcoin blockchain or one of the other cryptocurrency platforms built on blockchain. Initially, this was a contained market. An idea for a new project was proposed, and the person or group behind the idea put forward a proposal for developing the concept. They would pay programmers in cryptocurrency for their work, which was to write the computer code and to make the project a reality. Obviously, things have moved on quite a lot since those early days, and the report explains these origins and what happened in much more detail.
And why did ICO volume shoot up since 2017?
A key factor here is that the mechanism for an ICO is remarkably simple, and that provides a very low barrier to entry. ICOs raise money by issuing what's called a white paper, which provides details of the concept that the venture intends to build and details of the token that will be issued in exchange for cryptocurrency. The white paper is available via the venture's website, which also provides the mechanism for payment of cryptocurrency to the venture's account or to an escrow account. This low barrier to entry has meant that Bitcoin and blockchain became more and more familiar to a wider audience. ICOs expanded beyond the initial pool of blockchain developers, and in doing so, it opened the door to many more business ideas that ordinarily might not have reached the market for fundraising at all. Obviously, this impacts the number of ICOs that are out there. Now, to be clear, all of this comes with real risks. Many of these ICOs can be poorly formed business ventures with not much more than a few details copy-pasted as a white paper onto an offer website.
Which brings me on to the next question. Is this a risky proposition?
Yes, I think ICOs come with some very real risks, and these have to be taken on board. There are risks for investors in terms of being scammed potentially by poorly formed business ideas seeking finance, or having liquidity issues in exiting their investment because the tokens that they've bought can't be sold due to large bid-ask spreads on them. There are also risks for regulators in terms of money laundering and protecting against issues like terrorist financing. So obviously, there's a wide range of individuals involved and a wide range of risks, and the report delves into all of these in great detail.
Given these risks, are regulators looking into ICOs?
Yes, absolutely. There are two headline areas that regulators are most concerned about. One is a focus on consumer protection, as you might expect. And the other is how to define what the ICO token is. It could be defined as a security, which can be traded for profit, or it might be defined as a utility token, where its use is within a certain platform environment. This distinction matters because if it's classed as a security it comes under a much more formal regulatory regime involving prospectus and registration requirements. Clearly, this is a very fast-moving space. Some jurisdictions like the US are exploring fitting ICOs into existing regulations. Others like France are exploring whether new regulation is required. And yet others like China have banned it altogether. As I said, it's a very fast-moving space, and we need to monitor regulator announcements on this one very closely.
And how does all this link to professional accountants?
There are some important connections and areas of relevance for the accountancy profession and for professional accountants. In particular, I'd call out three areas that professional accountants need to consider. One is to build basic technical knowledge around blockchain and ICOs. Without that, it's almost impossible to engage with this space. The second is building an understanding of the regulation in your jurisdiction, particularly around securities and registration and prospectus requirements. And last, but definitely not the least, is the ethical dimension. This is really important because it speaks to exploring where avenues like ICOs could be used as routes for unethical fundraising or even illegal activities.
If you're interested in more in-depth information, you can read reports on the Professional Insights app or on our website.